You know, that's an amazing testimony that Mr. Wesley Bird had, and I miss him a lot. He attended our Reservoir campus, and while nobody would ever say anything, occasionally Mr. Wesley would just yell out in church, "Glory!" And I'd be like, "Okay, Mr. Wes is here today." And we miss him. Our church family misses him, but listen, he has left a legacy. He's left a legacy for his daughter, Julia, for his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, a legacy of prayer. They know that God answers powerfully when we pray specifically. And what we're learning is you may have gone every other place for answers, but God still hears us whenever we pray. And that's what we desire to see, God answer us whenever we pray. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, God has never answered me like that. And I would say to you, you're right. God has never answered you like that yet. But I'm convinced what we're going to learn in the next few minutes could change the way you pray, and you could begin to see powerful answers to specific prayers that come straight out of heaven. During the month of February, we're doing a prayer challenge, P28, praying for 28 days about one thing that if you could just have God do one thing, you would see him do that. What we've learned is that prayer is not like a divine vending machine where you're telling God what you want and hopefully it's going to fall out of heaven into your lap and bam, I got my prayer answered. That's not really what prayer is. Prayer is less transaction. It's more relationship. That's what prayer is. We got to pray with the right heart. That's what we learned. That if you get to the end of P28, and even if you don't get what you prayed for, if God's got your heart, you won. That's a win, right? And so you want to have a heart that's pure. You fear God more and sin less. A listening heart where you're learning to meditate on the things of God. A surrendered, trusting heart. God, I want you to have my heart. We learned that anybody can pray with power. A guy named Elijah had a spirit just like yours, a flesh nature just like yours, suffered like we suffer, wants what we want. He's a dude like us. And yet he prayed and God answered him. And what we learned is you can pray with power too. When you begin to pray from a life that's on mission for God's glory, we just sang it, right? We just sang, God be glorified from the altar of my life. Now, please hear me. If your prayer is, God, I'm going to use you to glorify me, then that ain't going to get it. God doesn't want you to use him to glorify you. Our prayer needs to come from a heart that says, God, use me to glorify you. Do you see the difference? Not, God, I want to use you to glorify me, so answer my prayer so I get a job, I do better, my life is more easy for me. That is not it. We pray from a spirit that says, God, I'm on mission with you. Let my life bring you glory, whatever happens. So I humble myself and I stand on your word and I pray with persistence. That's the way that anybody can begin to pray and see God here. Now, last week we learned that you need to pray looking up. A lot of times we say, bow your head and close your eyes. So everybody's, looking down with their eyes closed. And what Jesus taught us to pray is like this, looking up. Looking up to heaven. Why? Because when you look up to God, God gets bigger, problems get smaller, prayers get bolder because your faith is growing. And God can do anything. Mountains can move, be cast into the sea if you just have faith in God who can do anything. Now, what you're going to learn today is another simple principle of prayer, and it's this. The best prayers start in heaven. All right, the best prayers start in heaven. The most powerful prayers don't start with you. You got to think of something good to say. The best prayers start in heaven. That's why we pray with open hands. We pray with open hands to say, God, I give you all the stuff that's on my heart, but I receive from you what you have back for me. Prayer is not a monologue where you're just telling God what to do. Prayer is a dialogue where you are lifting things, but you're also receiving back from God what God desires for you to pray. The best prayers start in heaven. Think about it. God gave you two ears and one mouth. Why do you think that is? Well, he didn't give you two mouths and one ear. He gave you two ears and one mouth because he intends for you to listen more then you talk. Think about this, serious question. Do you think God already knows what he wants to do in your life and in this world? Do you think God already knows what the plan is? That's a serious question. Because if you could say yes to that, then you need to know when you're praying, you're never gonna say something where God goes, daggum, I never thought of that. That'll never happen. All right. So prayer is not you telling God new information he doesn't already know. Think about it. Serious question. Do you think God already knows what you want? The God who already knows your thoughts, your words before you say them, your thoughts even as you're thinking them. The Bible says that in Psalm 139. He knows. If he already knows what you want and what you need, please hear me. God is not, he is not waiting on you to say something that just blows him away. Of course he knows. So why do we pray then? Why do we pray if God already knows what he wants to do and knows what I need? Why do we pray? A friend of mine, Judd Wilhite, said, prayer is not to inform God. Prayer is to invite God. All right, so this is changing your prayer life right here. It's less of this. God, I need to tell you this, and I need to tell you this, and you need to do that. And it's more, God, we need you. Show me. Show us. God, I invite you to let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're inviting God into your life, into your world, into your circumstances. The more you pray, the more you're going to realize that prayer is more of an ongoing conversation that flows from a relationship with God. That's what prayer is. An ongoing conversation flowing out of a relationship you have with God. Now, here's the most important thing about prayer, okay? The most important thing about prayer, if you're a note taker, write this down. The most important thing about prayer is relational connection. The most important thing is relational connection. Spiritual life is a relationship, not rules and religion. It's a relationship with God where you come to the place where you say, God, you're going to be my God and I want to be yours. And God says, deal. Got it. And God claims you as his and he stands as your God. God's desire has been that for relationships since the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. God walked with them in the cool of the day. That was God's desire, right? He wanted to have relationship with us. And if you just read through the rest of the Old Testament, you find that there was a guy named Enoch who walked with God, one of only two men in the Bible who never physically died. God took him, the Bible says. He walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. With Moses, God spoke face to face. David was not a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart. He really did want and walk in relationship with God to know what God said. Now, that's in the Old Testament, but even you, and now, you were made for relationship and companionship. John, one of the disciples, wrote this in 1 John 1:3. He says, we have seen and heard and we proclaim to you also so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Please don't miss it. John says, we want you to have a part of the faith family, the church, but you need to know you can have fellowship, communion, connection, partnership with the Father and the Son. Do you see it? That's what John wants. The goal of us gathering is not for you just to be a part of the church, but for you to know that you are connected to God. God wants an ongoing, everyday, intimate connection with you. I don't know if you're praying the Jesus-centered life prayer daily. That's one of the things that you can do. I'm trying to do that each day where you're looking at the 4-3 circle drawings and just praying a prayer that says, Jesus, I rejoice in my salvation and I receive my identity in you. I surrender my life to you today and I stand in my authority. We pray that every day. We start there. The idea is to be connected to God. I'm praying that. And one of the things the Lord's been speaking to me this week is around this idea in salvation, there are only two kinds of lives. In the salvation drawing, you have God's design. God made us to walk with him, and we all disobey God. The Bible calls that sin, and we land in this place called brokenness where we're cut off from God. Now, please watch this. Those are the only two ways you can live your life. You either live your life connected to God, walking with God, growing in God, or you live your life cut off from God, doing your own thing, right? Walking in your own strength, leaning on your own understanding, working in your own plan. That's it. Those are the only two ways it can happen. God loves you so much, he didn't want you to live that way that he gave Jesus to let you get back to his plan. And so that's what I want you to hear. As you're praying, the heart of God is that you would have relationship with him. It's the most important thing. More than you getting what you are praying for, it's that God would get your heart. Y'all with me? Relational connection, that's the most important thing when you're praying, that you would learn to enjoy God and trust God and believe God. That's your alternate reality. Ain't nobody else got what you got. But you see the world different. You got a different strength. You got joy because you're living in connection with God. See, prayer is not making speeches to God. It's entering into intimacy with God. The most important thing is relational connection. But here, secondly, is the most important question when you're praying. The most important question when you're praying is this: God, how do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray? We've learned over the last couple of weeks a scripture that you may have known, 1 John 5, verse 14. It says, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if you ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in what we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from him. You see, we believe the best prayers start in heaven. So you want to learn to pray, God, what is your will? Because if you will pray God's will, God says, I'll hear and I'll answer. You with me? So we learned a couple of weeks ago that part of praying the will of God is praying the word of God, because the word of God is the will of God. And so we pray the word of God back to God. But the word of God is not the only way you can know the will of God. Sometimes the Lord speaks through his spirit that lives inside of us. Jesus promised that he would give us a guide, John 14, John 16, the Holy Spirit, who would guide us, who would speak to us. He speaks while you read the word, but he can just speak. He is a guide for you. The very presence of Jesus himself lives inside of every believer. You are a temple of God now. That's what 1 Corinthians 6 tells us. Anybody here a snow skier? Anybody snow skier? I know some of y'all probably are snow skiers. Y'all like, I've gone a time or two. I can do it. It's not something I really love to do because I ski on the verge of disaster. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm on the verge of disaster. And when I was a kid, I liked that. I liked that when I was in high school and college. But now that I'm grown, I don't like that, because you could actually get hurt or killed while you're skiing. And one of the things that I know skiing and was reminded of it this week is that there are some phenomenal skiers that'll just like, how do they do that? Little kids like this tall, right? And their skis are even like, they're chained together, but man, they can just go. And you're like, how do they do that? It's because their gravity's that far, their center of gravity's that far off the ground. So they won't tump over. It's just almost impossible, so they can ski. But the most amazing skiers are those with a red vest on that says blind skier. Come on. It's nuts that people who cannot see maybe very much, maybe only a few feet in front of them, or they cannot see at all, will be out there skiing on the same slope. How does that happen? Well, they have a guide. And there's a guide who goes with them on the lift, down the run, and that guide is with them to tell them what to do. Sometimes that guide will say, go right, turn left, slow down. Whatever the guide says, they got to do it immediately or it's going to be a mess, right? As you could imagine. Whatever the guide says, they do. Sometimes the guide's not saying anything, but just to make sure they know the guide's still there, the guide will click his poles together just to let them know, hey, I'm still here. Nothing to do but enjoy the ride down. Now, that's amazing, right? That they can't see in front of their face, but the guide can. In the same way, God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you. You can't see 2 minutes in front of your face in terms of the future. You don't know what's about to happen. None of us do. You certainly can't see 2 or 3 or 5 years into the future, but the Holy Spirit can, and the Holy Spirit has been given to you so that if you'll listen to the Spirit say, turn left, turn right, slow down, speed up, just rest, enjoy. I'm still here. Clicking those, I'm still here. Nothing to do but enjoy. The Holy Spirit is given to us for that. Now, in prayer, you're supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit, who's going to teach you how to pray. He wants to guide you. Jesus, show me then how to pray. You know what's coming. 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 years from now, show me how to pray. Now, I don't know if you believe this yet or not, but the Bible says God likes to talk. Now, some of you are like, man, I don't know if I've ever heard God. Not yet. But God loves to talk. He loves to speak. Throughout the scripture, he talked to Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Elijah, Jeremiah, and so many, many others. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Yes, God gives us words to say, but sometimes God just wants you to have ears to hear. And Jeremiah said, God opens my ears to hear him. Isaiah said, he opens my ears to hear him. And he does it every single morning. God wants you to hear every single day. God wants to talk more than you want to listen. God's got stuff to say, even whenever you struggle to hear it. Years ago, Christy worked for the Soil Conservation Service. She colored in maps for them because she's good at that kind of stuff. But she worked with a lady named Miss Tina Adams, who was Pentecostal. And so anytime I went up there to Christy's work, Miss Tina would say, what's the word for the day, Pastor Chip? Ooh, well, you know, some days I had a word, but I didn't have a word. Like, she wanted one every day. And this is my broken part. I couldn't just say, Miss Tina, I don't have a word for the day. So I did what y'all would do. I would lie and I would make up like I had heard a word from the Lord for the day. Isn't that bad? Y'all pray for me. That's awful bad. I get it. But God would speak, but maybe I wasn't in a place to hear. Maybe I didn't take the time to hear. But morning by morning, God says, I'd love to talk with you. And Isaiah said, the key to that is I had the ear of a disciple. Whatever God said, I wasn't disobedient to it. I did it. So can I say this to you? The key to learning to hear God more and more is to do what God said last time. If you'll learn to do what God says, you'll hear him more clearly. But if you don't, then your hearing will become dull. And God is speaking, but you got to be willing to do what God said. God spoke to a guy named David in prayer, a man after God's heart, a warrior, a military guy. God spoke to him whenever he prayed. David was facing the Philistine army. They were coming at him. And so David is going to ask God, should I go to war? What do you mean, should you go to war? Bro, they're coming at you, right? But he's going to ask God. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18, the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said, God spoke. He asked, God spoke. God said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breaking through of water. So he named that place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. Amazing day. The enemy came. God, what should we do? God says, this is what you do. He did it. Victory. Now check this out. Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Same enemy, same place, same scenario. What do you think David's going to do? David inquired of the Lord. And God said, you shall not go directly up this time. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly, for the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. And David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. Now, I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, this is how that applies to you and me in prayer. Whenever you're praying, please don't ever assume that you know what God wants you to pray about anything before you ask God, what do you want to do? David is modeling for us here. The enemy's coming at me. Come on, this is a no-brainer. And yet David still says, God, what should I do? He doesn't tell God what to do. He doesn't say, God, bless me because I'm about to do this. God, what should I do? And God told him, and he acted. So don't assume that whenever it comes to your praying, because some need is in front of you, that you automatically know exactly what you should pray for. Somebody might come to you and say, my parents are going through a divorce. Please pray that they will reconcile. Now, your instinct is to say, God, of course I pray that they would reconcile. God, reconcile this husband and wife, that this family might be intact. However, the reason they're irreconciled is because the man has a violent temper and the woman has an awful addiction. Could it be that if you pray God to reconcile them, they get reconciled, they're going to get irreconciled again because he's still got that same mean temper and she's still got that addiction? And so could it be that when you bring this need before God, God, how should I pray? God might say to you, hey, I want you to pray for his character, pray for his anger, pray for him to experience me and my peace, pray for her to find my freedom, my spirit to help her, so that when she walks in freedom and he walks in newness, now when I do reconcile them, they got a brand new marriage. You with me? Look, God may want that old marriage to die, so that he might make them new, so that the relationship can be brand new. Don't just assume because there's a need, you already know what God wants you to pray. Y'all with me? Okay. God wants you to have a job. I get that. And you're praying, God, give me a job. That is an amazing prayer. Work is from God. Work's not part of the curse. Adam and Eve had a job in the garden before the curse ever happened. God wants you to work. He wants you to provide for your family. So you're praying, God, give me a job. I need a good job. But maybe what God wants to do is to deal with your mean spirit that got you fired from the last job. Because you get another job with that same mean spirit, you're going to get fired from that job too. So maybe what you need to pray is, God, would you show me why I got fired? Well, you got a mean spirit. Let's work on that. The spirit of God is self-control, is peace, is patience. That's not what I made you do. God, change me so that when you do open the door for me to get a job, y'all with me? God, why do I have this mean spirit? You know why you got that mean spirit? Because whenever you were 4 years old, 6 years old, fourth grade, whatever, and you got bullied, you remember that? And you decided you were going to get back at people because you were little, now you're grown up. You believed a lie that day that somehow you weren't worthy. And so for God to heal that mean spirit that keeps getting you fired, you're going to have to go back and say, God, would you show me what lie I've believed, what strategy I have developed around that lie? God, to keep me so insecure, so mean, God, would you bring healing to the deepest part of me? Do you understand how prayer is way more than you telling God what God needs to do? You got to listen for the Spirit of the Lord to teach you how to pray. Show me about myself. Pray for healing. Absolutely. Jesus can heal anybody, does. His cross, its work is enough to break the curse. Hallelujah. But we saw a testimony last week that Maureen's praying for healing, and God's saying, girl, I got you, but I really want to do a spirit work in your son. Remember that? That her son was far from God, and in watching her walk this out and how the elders pray for her, he has his faith renewed in God. Listen, something happens generationally when your kids see powerful answers to specific prayers. That's what we want. So don't assume that you should just pray what you think. God, I know what it looks like, but how should I pray? Secondly, don't assume the way you did things last time is the way you ought to do things this time. Same enemy, same valley, same setup. And David doesn't just say, God, I got this one. I'm working on yesterday's word. I got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm going straight up. No, he inquires of God, and God says, don't go straight up. Why not? The enemy was on to him. Maybe. I don't know. But he says, go around. And last time, David won the battle, but did you catch it? This time, God says, hey, when you hear my army's going through the balsam trees, just know I'm fixing to go smoke them this time. Come on, you're fighting battles because that's the way you used to. And God said, if you just be still and simmer down, I'd fight your battles. But you ain't asking me. Yes. Ask God. I think we are a little bit superstitious in the way we do things about like baseball players. It's baseball season. All the Mississippi State fans said amen, right? It's baseball season. And baseball players are among the most superstitious. If they do something good, they will do the exact same thing over and over and over again as much as they possibly can so that they can reproduce that swag, that juice, that flow, whatever that was that got them. Am I right? Come on. They will wear the same nasty socks. They will put on the same nasty wristband. Well, don't wash it, mama. Don't wash it. You're going to wash the juice off. No, we put the same nasty stuff on. We will do the same thing at the plate. I mean, all of it the same way because you're somehow thinking you don't want to mess it up. Christians do the same thing. You prayed, you got an answer, and from now on, bro, you got a plan. Let me ask you something, fellas. Does that work with your wife? No, it don't work with your wife. You got a brand new woman tomorrow, bro. You better get a new plan, right? In the same way, With God, we're prone to, if something worked, then I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go back to that same Bible study. I'm going to go to that same place. I'm going to fast that same way. I'm going to pray those same prayers. I'm going to wear them same drawers that I was wearing whenever I was praying for the miracle. Right? We're just that superstitious, and God is saying, no, that is not it. Stop. It ain't about you. It's about me. Listen to me. David is teaching you, if you'll listen today, you've never heard God, you've never seen God move, but you're about to. Don't assume you know what to pray, and don't assume because you prayed one time that that's the way it is all the time. Jesus, teach me how to pray. Isaiah said, God, open my ears every morning. In the New Testament, I'm reading in the book of Acts, and a guy named Ananias in Acts chapter 9 hears God say, I want you to go see a guy named Saul. He's about to be an instrument in my hand. And Ananias is like, you sure? Because he's a killer, like literally a killer of Christians. And yet God speaks to this man and says, go, I got it. And he does. In the next chapter, God speaks to a man named Cornelius, a military leader, all right? He's a guy in the military, not Jewish. He's praying though, he fears God. And God says to him, send for a man named Peter. He's in a city down the road. He's gonna give you a message. And because he does that, because both of these men listen with ears open, God opens up what we know as missionary activity through the book of Acts and even today. Now, I'm raising those two people because maybe you don't know Ananias and Cornelius. They're not apostles. So please, 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 please don't say, well, you know, God doesn't speak anymore. They did that in the apostles' day, but when the apostles died out, he's through and he only speaks through this. Come on. If you didn't have the Spirit of God, you couldn't understand this. The Spirit speaks to normal people today. That's what the scripture tells us. Jesus, 15 times in the New Testament, says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Seven of those are in the book of Revelation. He's already in heaven. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit's now saying to the churches. John 10, four different times, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and do what I say. John chapter 10, verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs in up some other way, he's a thief and he's a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Now, Jesus is talking about himself. Or the people try to come at you. Jesus said, I'm the one who's going to lead you. And I call my sheep, my own sheep, by name, and I lead them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 16, he goes on to say, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they too, talking about those non-Jewish people, will hear my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. He goes on, verse 25, Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, you don't believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These testify of me, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father's given them to me, and he's greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. Jesus says repeatedly, I speak to my sheep. He calls them by name. It's an intimate picture that God knows everything about his people. If you've ever been on a farm, it's amazing to me. I'm not a cattle farmer, but it's amazing to me that cattle farmers, they know their cows like by name, not Bessie and Martha. They know them by Specklefoot. They know them by white face. They know them by whatever. That you can go on a farm with a farmer and all I see is cows, but he's like, one's missing. Well, where's that new mama at? She's having a calf somewhere. He knows. Why? He just is intimately aware of what's important to him. God says, I speak to my people. And I call them by name and I speak that over you. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like one of the herd or the crowd, but I'm telling you, he knows your name. He sees you and he is speaking to you even in this moment. And he wants you to begin to follow him so that he can care for you, feed you, lead you, protect you. He says, I speak to my sheep and my sheep hear and know my voice. You can know when Jesus, when the Spirit is speaking to you. Some of you are way too young to remember this, and it's very unfortunate. But before we had smartphones and before we even had caller ID, when the phone rang, it was like potluck. You didn't know who it was going to be. And so me and my sisters, we would all run to the phone and we would answer the phone to see who it was going to be. And the person would say, hey, may I speak to, and then they would say, your dad, your mom, your sister, whatever. And you would know who it is without them saying a word. You just knew their voice. Daddy, it's Uncle Jerry. Right? Mama, Miss Martha's on the phone. Right? One of my sisters, hey, it's him again. Right? Whatever. Your friends know your voice. You pick up, hello, they go, what's up? Right? That's the way we used to answer the phone because you just know who you're talking to. That takes frequency. You don't do it the first time, but the more you hear that familiar voice, the more you know who it is. Am I telling the truth or not, y'all? Come on, a mama can do it. You know a mama can do it. Women are amazing. They can be in a crowded gym monitoring four conversations at one time, and a baby will cry. Nope, that ain't mine. She'll go right back to monitoring them four conversations. But if she throws that ear up and she go, yep, that's one of mine, then she can immediately determine if the child is scared, hurt, bleeding, broken, lost, what, just by the cry. Mamas just know. Am I telling the truth, ladies? Okay, so maybe not. Maybe it's just, you know, Christy who did that. Mamas just know, but that's because there's intimacy involved in that. Jesus said, you can train yourself to know my voice. The Spirit begins to train you to recognize when God's speaking. Now, can I just stop right there and say, if you would say, man, I don't hear God's voice. I've never heard God's voice. I don't. Then can we just call time out and say, then one of two things is true. If you've never heard God's voice, it means you're not his sheep. You don't belong to him yet. And so the first thing you need to hear the Spirit say to you right now is, come to me. Turn away from your sin and your own life and doing your own thing. That's a dead end street, quite literally. Come to me. And if you'll just turn to God and say, God, I want you to be my God and I want to be yours and I want your Spirit to come live in me and change me. The Bible says he won't just take you to heaven. He'll put his Spirit inside of you right now and you'll begin to hear his voice all the time. Okay. For some of you, it's been a long time since you heard God's voice. Maybe you used to hear God's voice, but you don't anymore. Why is that? Well, the Bible says you can have a good heart, a clear heart, but you can also have a dull heart and a calloused heart. And remember what we said about a disciple. A disciple wants to hear God and then do it. Jesus said, my sheep hear me, and they do it. But if you've been saying, God, talk to me, but you don't really want to do what God says, God will quit talking. Or if God was speaking, but you haven't been obeying, then God will say, till you do the last thing, ain't no sense in me telling you a new thing. Y'all with me? So what we need to do in that case is, God, forgive me. Give me a clean, sensitive heart. Because God's sheep hear his voice, and then they follow what he says. They follow him. God's not pushing you like we push cows. He's leading you like we lead sheep. He's in front of you. And the Spirit's trying to lead you as you pray, to pray what the Spirit wants, what God wants, so that you can have powerful answers to specific prayers. And if you'll begin to follow his lead, listening to his voice, praying what he wants you to pray, you'll taste and see that the Lord is good. And his way's better than your way. Okay? And you'll find that you have a growing capacity to sense the Spirit of God speaking to you, even in the midst of some of the noise of your life. The more you are familiar with his voice, the easier it is to pick up that voice. Now, I want to spend the last couple of minutes of our time together sharing with you how I'm learning to try to listen to the Spirit tell me what to pray. How do we learn? If God's speaking, most important thing is the relationship, but then the next most important question is, God, how should I pray? God's speaking, I want to hear. How do I learn to listen to God and pray what God wants you to pray? Okay, this is what I'm learning based on my own experience, the things that I'm reading. This is what I'm learning. I'm gonna give you seven steps, okay, real quick. The first one is this. I've got to remove distractions. And so if you're going to hear from God, you're going to have to learn to remove the distractions. It is difficult for you to hear from God when you're multitasking or you got a lot of noise going on around you. So you're going to need to get into a place with as few distractions as possible. And then in that place, remove as many distractions as you possibly can. That means probably you're going to have to turn your phone over or off or put it in another room. You're going to have to turn the TV off, not just on mute, because you'll still be watching. Then you'll turn it back on to hear what's going on when you see it out of the corner of your eye. You got to get in a room maybe where there's no TV, go in another room. You can go in a closet, a bathtub, a shower, the car by yourself. Get to a place where you're as free from distraction as you can. Why? Because you're trying to help your brain and your senses be as minimally distracted as possible. Y'all with me? God, I want to get away from all the things, all the voices of the world. I want to be focused on you. Here's step two, quiet your soul. Sometimes it helps just to breathe for a minute and just slow down from all that you've been hustling and just breathe in and out. And when you breathe in, just say, God, you're with me. I get it. I know it. Help me to be aware of it. And when you breathe out, just say, God, I give you everything that's on my mind right now. And so sometimes it's just breathing to be mindful of his presence. Sometimes you struggle with thoughts. Y'all ever struggle with thoughts about everything you got to be going on? Just say, God, I give you that. I give you that meeting. God, I give you that person. God, I give you that problem. I just give it to you. God, I want to be present with you. I quiet my spirit. How many of y'all hear a lot of voices in your head? Like you hear like... You don't know if it's God speaking or what, right? And so you don't know if it's your flesh or what, if it's your old past or your what. And so one of the things that you can do to quiet your soul is in the name of Jesus, just say, in the name of Jesus, I command every voice other than the voice of the Spirit to be quiet and silent. Now, I get that right out of James 4, 7 and 8, where it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can resist the enemy when you say, God, I'm drawing near to you. And so, Satan, I'm saying to you, leave me alone. Be quiet. Voice of the world, voice of my flesh, be quiet in Jesus' name. I'm quieting my soul. Step three is cleanse your hearts. See what he says? Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, so that what you do is, God, I don't want anything to be between you and me. So if there's a sin that you've committed, say, God, I confess that, forgive me, change my heart. I want to walk in obedience to you. I claim the blood of Jesus. I'm forgiven and I'm free. Invite the Spirit to show you if there's anything in your heart that's keeping God from hearing you. Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Come on, you with me? Fellas, you with me? You're going to have to get undistracted, get in your truck, go for a ride, turn the radio off, be still, clean your heart. God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, take all this stuff off my mind, off my plate right now, right? Surrender your will. Step four, surrender your will. The reality is you have some feelings and you have some emotions and some thoughts about what you're about to pray for. And so you're not denying those. You're just telling God those things. God, this is what I really want and you know it. God, this is what I really think and you already know it. So God, I'm just laying that down before you and I'm surrendering that to you saying, God, I want to pray what you want me to pray. So take my will, my thoughts, my desires. I lay it down. I give it to you. I surrender my will to you because whatever you say is what I'm about to pray. Now, Jesus modeled this for us in the Garden of Gethsemane when he wanted to avoid the cross, but he said to the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You with me? He surrendered to the Father so that he could pray with power. I'm surrendering to the Father. Here's step five. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak about one thing. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak about one thing, not four things because you'll get confused, about one thing. God, right now what I want to talk to you about is this thing. So Holy Spirit, would you show me how do you want me to pray about this one thing? Invite the Spirit. God's speaking. His sheep hear his voice. God, give me the ears of a disciple. God, I invite you to speak to me about this one thing. Here's step six, wait in stillness. Then wait. This is hard because you're used to telling God, wait with open hands. Now, when I'm waiting, I'm not waiting for an audible voice from heaven. Now, some people may hear audible voices. I've never had that happen. What I'm waiting for is the Spirit inside of me to speak something. Now, Ephesians 3:16 talks about being strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. Right? So the Spirit of God lives in us. The Spirit is our guide. So I'm not waiting on a voice out there. I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit in here. I'm surrendered to Him. I'm clean before Him. I'm quiet. I'm still. I'm inviting Him to speak. And I'm waiting. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will give me a Bible verse or a Bible story. That happens to me a lot. That's kind of the primary way God talks to me. But that's not the only way. Sometimes the Spirit of God will give me a word. Sometimes the Spirit will give me a picture. Sometimes He'll give me a prompting or a thought about something that's much, much bigger or much more specific. I was praying the other day, and I'm praying about this one thing. But God gave me a picture as I was praying, asking God to show me, how do you want me to pray? He gave me this picture related to that one thing, but different. A picture of a husband and wife holding hands in love, walking into church with their family, connected to Jesus, connected to each other, connected in faith. And I was like, God, that's it. I know you're going to do something over here, but this is bigger. And so I began to pray this. I began to pray, God, would you just let them be drawn to you? God, let them be drawn to your love. God, let faith rise. You hear me? Yes, I'm praying for this too. God, that's a part of this journey, but this matters more than any other material thing that I might pray for. You wait in stillness, and then here's the last thing. You pray back what you sense the Spirit saying. You just pray back. I'm removing distraction, quieting my soul, cleansing my heart, surrendering my will, inviting the Spirit to speak, waiting in stillness, and then just speaking back to the Spirit, speaking back to God, what I hear God saying. Like I said, sometimes that's something totally different. Sometimes it's much bigger. Sometimes it's something very, very specific. But you pray what the Spirit tells you to pray. Even if you're like, I don't even know why I'm praying this, if the Spirit tells you to pray it, you pray it. A friend of mine, Jason Cox, was praying for a friend one day who was about to have surgery. The friend had a tumor in his brain. It was wrapped around his pituitary gland. And Jason said, as we were praying, I just sensed that God was saying to me, pray that the tumor would be detached. So he just prayed in Jesus' name, just tumor be detached. The next day, whenever the surgeon goes in, does the surgery, comes out and says it was a great surgery. When we got in there, the tumor was detached from his pituitary gland. Now, that may mean nothing to you, but it means everything to Mike Cloud and Jason Cox, the one who prayed the prayer and the one who received the answer to that prayer. The Spirit speaking, if you'll listen. Now, here's the way we're going to close. We're going to close our service different today than we normally do. Matter of fact, I don't know that we've ever closed exactly like this. Normally, whenever I pray, we release every campus to do your own thing. But today, we're all one faith family praying at the same time. And so we're going to have a moment where we ask God to slow us down and help us listen so we can pray. Katie Bowles is going to sing a song over us. You're not going to stand up today. You're actually going to remain seated maybe. She's going to sing a song over us that our worship team wrote some months ago when we were just praying, God, would you help us to see that our being with you matters more than our doing for you. And so this song is just, God, slow me down to be with you, to hear from you. And so here's the way I want you to respond. I'm inviting you to respond. Rather than standing up, maybe you just sit down. Maybe you lean forward on the chair back in front of you like it's an altar. Maybe you kneel down. Maybe you come to the front of the room if you're in person with us and you change your place and your posture and you kneel down and just pray to God as if you're surrendering to Him. I'm going to have some friends down in the front of every room. And listen, they would love to help you if you want to become His sheep today. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, when we start to sing the song, when she sings, you just stand up, you come down, we'll help you. Just tell them, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. We'll help you. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you or over you. However God leads you in these moments, would you let His Spirit lead you? So, Lord, we come in this moment and we just invite you, Jesus, to slow us down. God, I pray right now we'd not be in a hurry to get out of church. Lord, unless you give grace, we won't make it out of church. God, unless you give grace, we won't even get to what's next. God, what matters is right this minute. And so, Holy Spirit, would you slow us down? Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak. God, we come present before you. We want to quiet our souls, cleanse our heart before you, surrender to you in this moment, and invite you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak. Would you just be still right here for just a minute?
listen.
Confidence that if you ask anything according to his will, you know that he hears you. And if he hears you in whatever you ask, you know that you have it. Come on, pray with open hands and a listening ear. Speak, Jesus. Speak to our sons and daughters. Speak to our wives. Speak to our moms. Speak to our dads. Speak to these men. Jesus raised warriors, spiritual warriors in this house for you. So we are going to do that. We're lingering right here just in your room. We're just continuing to pray. And in just a minute when we're dismissed, if you want to stay and pray, you can do that. You can stay right where you are. Walk to the front of the room if you want to do that, to pray with somebody or alone, engage somebody online. But you pray. If you're going to leave, and listen, it doesn't mean you're less spiritual if you do. God may have already spoken to you. Man, you've already engaged with him. He knows your name. And man, you've had a good time with him. Can I just encourage you in a couple of ways? We'd love to have you come back Tuesday night, 6:30. You can come to your campus online. You can join online with your small group. But would you join us for an hour of prayer Tuesday night, 6:30? We'd love to have you here. Be with us. And then tomorrow, would you go on your favorite streaming platform, whatever that is for you, that song that our team wrote, Slow Me Down, will be available. Would you download that for the rest of the week? Would you just play that? Would you play that on your drive time? Would you play that in your quiet time? God, slow me down to listen. And may he give his grace and his face to shine upon you this week. That you're his sheep and he knows you by name, and everything that you need, he knows. And his plan is a good plan. So may his grace rise up and meet you. May you hear his voice and pray and do and say all that he leads you to do. In Jesus' name, for God's glory. God bless you. We'll see you Tuesday night.